This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
It's hump day, people, and it's nearly done and dusted. Strap yourself in. We do have a big one. Valet Stephen Hawking. Gone too soon, I say.
And valet, a hero of mine, Givenchy, the fashion designer. Pronounced a different way by Mick Molloy, and we'll get to that later.
Both valuable contributions.
They have
indeed. In their distinct fields. Deadpool will ask you, do you have one? Who
now,
would you
I've
take?
Now, I've never heard of that before.
We'll
discuss.
We'll take your votes.
Hey, there's going to be a new $2 coin. Who's going to be on it?
Wow. Well, I think it's Sporting Stars. I think it's
really?
To commemorate the Comm Games.
Excellent.
So
we'll
make sure you let us know who's on your list. Okay. I think this has something to do with Mick Coyne.
Do you?
They're getting
You're
nervous.
You're linking everything
you
to Mick Coyne.
Guess who our special guest is today? Paul Hogan.
What?
Bang. There it is.
Awesome. Live. I can't wait
bringing
to speak
in. To
It's going to
be great. It's going to be huge.
Oh, brilliant.
Got a new film out. Can't wait.
Now, Trump at it again, and possibly his finest moment yet, Mick.
This is a big statement.
It's a doozy.
I've heard it. I've seen it. I can't believe it. Hang about. You need to understand.
You won't believe what you're about to hear.
And in a related matter, dick pics. Why is that a thing?
And don't laugh because it is related to the president of the United States.
We're going to discuss it. I'm going to ask you, Jane.
Yeah.
I need to know what it means to women, obviously.
I'm not a real expert in that area.
Well, I must say. Can you do some research
I
in
shall.
The next half hour?
I'll get on to it, Mickey. Hey,
or so.
Malcolm Turnbull's going to join us.
Wow, the PM's on deck. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. It's a massive show.
And our great
here.
Friend Lawrence Mooney's going to pop in
Mooney,
as well.
Lawrence Mooney, the moon man.
Very
Where from
so.
This week? I don't know. He's performing all around the country at the moment.
He's a man of mystery at times.
Yes, and sometimes not enough mystery. Sometimes there's too much on the table.
No filter.
I feel pretty good about today's show, Jane.
Me too.
You too. What about you, Dave? Dangerous Dave?
Strap yourself in, Australia. This is going to be huge. Can't wait.
There's a bit to discuss, but why don't we start at the controversy of the day?
What's that?
Well, I think this is one of the rudest things I've ever seen in office politics. Jane today turned
what?
Up.
Oh,
and,
what?
Well, you lit a candle in the office.
Oh, pardon me. Your like, Majesty, it's, as
it's,
you would say.
It's like saying, poor, oh. you stink.
See, now that's
this
your
is,
self.
This is a bit of a man. Why don't you just walk in the door and start tiffing urinal cakes around the joint and go, open the windows, something's on the bugle here and I think we know what we're talking about.
Do you think I should have got out a few oranges?
Why did you, to explain yourself, you've come in to the office, you've broken company rules, which is
Mick.
To say no naked flame in any office.
Not my company
I
rule book.
I actually did report you. That
you
is now,
did
it
not.
Is, so it's in
well,
the system.
Well, you're a mole. You
hey,
are
hey,
a shocker.
Hey.
How dare
well,
you
I
report
did.
Me?
Well, I was offended at the time.
I'm offended by you.
So what have you done? You've
Listen,
lit the candle.
Sure.
What's you're going to bring in some potpourri?
No one has potpourri anyway, Nana.
What are you going to come in tomorrow and do a tarot reading? What are we going to wind chime? That'll be fun.
Just hold your
Tomorrow's
horses.
Meeting, going to do some fire twirling? I mean, where does it all end, Jane?
You have very low self-esteem.
Well, I do now. I thought I was going all right. Why would you do that?
Because I'm not
That's
thinking...
the most passive-aggressive thing I've ever seen.
That's right. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I don't like that threat.
You think that's passag, mate.
Sounds like there's a dream catcher coming my way. Are you a hippie? What are you, an old
How
hippie?
How do you know what a dream catcher is? That's a
What's
real
the candle?
Worry.
Why would you
if you
light
let me,
a scented
If you shut
candle?
Up and let me explain, I'll tell you.
All right.
You're so worried about stinking the place out. It's nothing to do with you.
Well, what is it to do with?
It was just I just saw we had some nice candles that arrived as a gift on our
that
desk today that are sent. And I just thought, oh, it'd be quite nice just to have a bit of atmosphere. That's all right. I'm not thinking you stink. I would tell you.
Trust me.
If I thought you stink. I couldn't get over what I was seeing.
What was that?
Apart from you demolishing a barbecue chicken before.
I woofed that.
Which I can live without seeing again.
That was like was hooking me up to a chaff bag, it was.
There was a fair amount of residue, let's just say, left
who,
on a
who
table.
Who cleaned it up?
Oh, my God. Mickey toddles out, comes back with his stinking blue bacteria-filled sponge and starts to wipe. And I say, well, you've got to use spray and wipe on that,
don't
mate. You can't just...
Wipe.
And what is your theory behind that,
but
genius
don't
cleaner?
Don't want any of the...
What, the chemical?
The chemicals flowing.
Oh, my God, you are. You're the hippie.
You sponge it down.
You just brought in a sponge.
You brought in a sponge.
Was that it?
Okay,
did you put
take
it
that
in?
Tone out of your voice, Dave, for start.
P.S. Did you not roll your eyes at me about my cleaning abilities today?
We all know you have a staff of about eight at your
That's
house.
That's
you've never lifted a finger yourself.
That is
such rubbish. This is what you do. Oh, no, there's a stone on the table. And then you pull a big cord on the corner.
I wish.
And someone's footman comes running.
I dream of having Maria.
Butler comes down.
Do you know what I do to my kids sometimes when I want to go in their room, when they've got a messy room? I knock on the door like this. I go, hello, housekeeper. That's how I feel in my house.
That
so
gives
rack
them time.
Off.
Well, I'm worried about your kids. And
why?
I'll tell you this. I know they'll never be lighting a candle in my office. You told me this off air. You don't even know when you're saying stuff.
It was an off-air conversation.
Mate, well, it's now on air. Oh. You tell me your children wouldn't even know how to light a match.
No, they don't.
Why?
And I say I'm not unusual.
That's bad parenting.
Because how many children light...
Because I've already burned a barn down.
Good for
you. Hang on. Why would your children not know how...
Let's just say their mentor's very different to mine.
Why would they not know how to light a match?
Because in today's age with children, boxes of matches were everywhere when we were growing up. We were lighting fires all the time. You know, you're burning off the leaves. You could do that. Incinerators.
Great.
You can't do any of that now, right? So when I've got kids to light a fire, they go, ooh, how do you just do it? Because thank goodness.
Like trying to get them to rub a stone into a...
But also, P.S., we're all smoking when we're about 12. None of the kids don't do that anymore. So they don't literally... You can't have a fire anywhere because of the PC brigade. You can't light a bonfire.
You can't light a candle in our office. You'll find out tomorrow when they're on your...
Well, bring
when
it on.
The Gestapo turn up.
I'm going to get a bigger candle today and put it in my office and turn it up high.
A mate of mine, when we were about 18, had a sex candle. His name was Jimbo.
Well, what's a sex candle?
So he only ever put it on when he was having sex. And he got a big one that was about 3 feet. I reckon if I went round there now, it would still be about two and a half feet.
Is that his signal that it was on?
Well, no, I think he just used to put it on when it was getting down, but he had such high hopes because he had a candle the size of a baseball bat.
A lot of sex to get through.
All right.
How do we get on to sex
and
candles?
Just one good session for me.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, the sad passing of a very important person, Stephen Hawking.
It
died
really is.
Today, the author of A Brief Moment in Time, one of the great minds of his generation. As I said, and he's a gleaming example, die young, leave a pretty corpse. And I think that's fair call.
Quite an extraordinary guy who happened to be diagnosed with MND, motor neuron disease, when he was 21, given 2 years to live.
And kept coming.
There you go.
I'm wondering how he died. Do you reckon it was on the can, eating a burger, Elvis style?
Possibly not.
No.
I don't think it could be that. No.
What about on the job, Billy Snedden style?
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. Oh, that is
That's not me, by the way.
Can I point out, but this is little known, he did actually attend a swingers club, and that was confirmed by Cambridge University. They say he wasn't a regular, but he used to do that. I don't think he was testing out his bing-bang theory. I think he was testing out his gang-bang theory.
Too soon?
Good thing... The good thing was the security guards at least didn't have to tell him he could look but can't touch or find a chair for a lap dance. But look, can I say
another interesting fact today? I'm just going to make a diversion. It's Pi Day today.
What's Pi Day?
As in the theory of Day.
I just think,
Of
course
you do.
What kind of pie?
Of course you do.
Apple pie, pecan pie, yum.
And it's also, you'll notice that the Google Doodle also has a reference to that.
I beg your pardon.
Pie Day. Oh,
Google Doodle.
What were the chances that know what a Google Doodle?
It just sounds funny. Now, Dave, I've never seen anyone punch the air when they found out.
Well, you were a little bit chipper.
And why, Dave?
Gives me no joy to announce here at the radio station at Kennedy Malloy in the office that there is a Deadpool. And we do this at the start of the
year. See, now I didn't know what this is. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I have heard about this, who's the first to cark it.
Yeah, and so what we do here, as a former winner of 2017, I was the one that got the most deaths.
Who's the big one?
What a strange claim to fame.
Chuck Berry.
Who did you take this year? So you've taken Stephen Hawking?
No, I haven't. That was someone else. That was Lucy in the office. There's two people, in fact, got Stephen
Hawking. Two people that taped the pool with Stephen Hawking? What about, who were you on?
Last year, Adam West, I got.
Did you really? You predicted
Batman.
Adam West would cark it last year.
You know who I would be on?
Who?
Prince Philip.
Yes, that's got to be a short.
I was on him last year, and there was touch and go moment there for a while.
Oh, when he was on that barge, when he was floating down the Thames in London, and it was raining. I'm going, come on.
This is a very uncomfortable conversation.
As I said, it gives me no joy.
I see a little glint in your eye.
Give us a call, 133353.
Who you think's going to go next?
Who's going to go next? Who's good for it? Who's up for it?
We have different categories as well. So we've got your Hollywood, you've got your public figure, you've got your Australian music sport.
Mick, your name's not on that list, is it?
You know what? I hope I die now so you feel terrible.
I won't feel terrible.
If I die, can you play that bit of audio back?
I will.
Can you start the show with that bit of audio?
Yeah, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to set up, we're going to do a sketch about you, and then we're going to have a big old laugh about it, just like you did to Stephen Hawking. Let's see how you like it.
Well, I hope you play me on the job. Go on for a while.
We'll have to record it. We'll have to fake it, that's for sure.
Now, who else? There's another big one that's gone. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
The whole country of France will be in mourning today.
They will.
Has Givenchy. What's his
How
first
are you saying it?
Givenchy.
Givenchy.
Oh, Givenchy.
Yes.
Oh, pardon.
Givenchy, who is very well celebrated because of Breakfast at Tiffany's. He dressed Audrey Hepburn. She was his muse.
I could have dressed Audrey Hepburn.
I know, because she's
a
sponge.
You can put her in a Hessian bag.
I know.
You can put Audrey Hepburn in a poncho and some Ugg boots.
Listen, you think you're an expert at everything. Honestly, you're not a fashion designer now.
I could be a great...
No,
I could,
you're
I could
not
be
a fashion
designer. I could be a great fashion house.
Bull.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of stretched denim in there. But
no, he invented the LBD, the classic little black dress. Before then, you know the little shift dress, that look? That was him...
Can
what?
I tell you, what? Out of all the funerals I'd want to go to,
yes.
It would be his. Imagine hitting on the hot chicks. Imagine how many hot chicks.
There are going to be so many stunning women
at
this today.
And you say in little black dresses, because it'll be black, so it'll be hot chicks.
They'll have little gloves on.
A bit like a, do you reckon the pallbearers will come down like a catwalk? Do you reckon they'll have to come down, do a turn, and go back up?
Well, everybody will be very solemn, they won't be smiling.
If you're ever going to hit on a chick at a funeral, surely that'll be a green light, and surely the girls would love it.
They come up with good stuff, don't they,
Have you ever seen a starker example of contributions by different countries to the world than Stephen Hawking, one of the great minds
whose
theories and ideas may well save mankind down the track, or the guy who invented the little black dress?
Oh, hang on. I think that's just as important.
On, Jane.
Fashion and food.
Food and fashion, mate. While
I'll tell you, what would you like?
In France, being beaten in every world war you've ever been involved
Someone's looking at a black hole. Tell you what I prefer.
Black hole or little black dress? Which side do you come down? Oh, we've got a couple of callers already. Michael, who are you thinking is up for it in the Deadpool?
I reckon Keith Richards. He's had everything in him.
Nah.
No, you've
Richards.
Upset Dave
He'll
here,
live forever.
Michael, but...
He
couldn't
go. Mate, the guy got hit on the head with a coconut in a hammock and lived
still
till the
snorted
that'd
dad's
be a good
ashes.
Way to go, wouldn't it?
That is a good way to go.
How'd you go? How'd he go? Hit on the head with a coconut in a hammock. Well, that's got Mickey written all over it.
Yes, indeed. Kathy? Thanks, Michael.
Who?
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hello, you gorgeous duo. I reckon Kirk Douglas.
How old is he now?
102.
Oh, my God. He's looking better than his son these days,
isn't
he?
He's got a letter from the Queen. And you can put her on the list too.
Really? No. The Queen's going to live forever.
Sadly.
What do you mean, don't you go, my Queen?
How long did the Queen mum live to him?
Oh,
she was 100?
She was 100 plus.
Yeah. And they called her death
Windsor Castle, didn't she? Smoking in bed.
They called her death way too early sometimes.
133353. I'm enjoying this. Who's going next? And we'll put some money on this.
Oh, all right.
Let's have a crack. Let's get a bookie on board.
Oh, what a cheery bet.
It's Kennedy Malloy's Deadpool.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And we're mourning the passing of some towering figures. Of the 20th century,
from
Stephen Hawking, obviously, whose contribution will take us hundreds of years measure. And
the fashion designer, Givenchy, who's responsible for the little black dress.
Who Jane is putting up there with...
With Stephen Hawking.
With Stephen Hawking.
I do, because...
You're soft on the French because you like their cooking.
I love everything about the French.
Yeah. See, if you could design one of those bombs that you could drop on a town that...
that, I don't believe
that
you.
Kills all the people but keeps the buildings, you drop it on Paris.
Really?
Yeah.
That's rubbish. You wouldn't do that. Now, look, I don't like this top. I don't know what we've got into now because there's I wasn't aware this is what Deadpool is.
Deadpool is where
so it's a game you guess
you
who's
run a book on who's going to cark it next. And we've got
we're
some
all
going
to go sometimes.
Hey, we'll have to go sometimes, so why can't we turn a dollar out of it? And we're speaking to two-time previous winner, yes. Dangerous Dave.
Oh, my God, yes.
Who's taken the Deadpool here at Triple M. What have you Who'd you win with?
Well, last year I got Adam West, TV's Batman, and Chuck Berry, who I've had on for a few years because he's sort of been out of the
limelight. Do you study the form? Are you aware of his
was
health?
Was Adam West not well?
Well, I thought he's in his mid-80s and he's one of those TV legends that's been around for a while. And it kind of came out of the blue, in fact. He was ill for a very short time. So
Jerry Lewis was one you'd probably have that would have gone, you know.
Already gone, would have got on him.
One of the girls here got Hugh Hefner last year.
Oh, easy money.
He's been gone for years.
Wouldn't have paid a lot.
Yeah, I would have thought. And MJ got Victorian football legend and broadcaster Lou Richards.
Oh, yeah, so he was very elderly at the time.
Lou would have approved.
I think so.
Would have approved, yes.
Sure, can I get on Sure?
She's just been here performing.
And I saw her and she was a bit doddery.
She wasn't doddery.
If you carbon dated Sure, it would go back to the 1400s.
That's rubbish. She's 70.
Well, no, I'd like to. Can I get a bet on?
Pass.
All right.
Lock it in.
All right, let's go to David. Okay, our callers can't wait to get involved.
Oh, no.
Who's going to the top of your list? Who would you get on to cark it next, David?
Well, I would be thinking, you know, I was a little bit, you know, what happened with Malcolm Young last year? I didn't have that on my list, but...
Yep.
Who you got?
I reckon our greatest Prime Minister.
Who?
That we saw, we always seen the SCG, Skullner.
Who?
Have
you gone blank
Bob
on
Hawke.
His name?
Bob Hawke, is that who you're saying?
The greatest man, Bob Hawke. I reckon he'd get in if we voted him in now, to be quite honest.
But. Well, David, we might vote you in. I think you're gone.
We're trying.
Yeah, he's a few pots in, I think.
Mind you, I wouldn't mind Bob Hawke. Is that that?
What do you mean you wouldn't mind?
Oh, I wouldn't mind getting on that some of that action. He looked a bit doddery. He struggled sculling that pot.
He is struggling at the moment.
Oh, well, Lee Sales already been planning his funeral.
Oh, that's right.
With Blanche Delpouget. Is that, can I say that right? Delpouget.
Yes, you did.
Givenchy.
C'est très bon.
I can speak French.
Please stop me from using my French accent. It's really embarrassing.
Joe, who would you like to get on? Who do you think is a good chance of cracking?
I want to be wrong, but look, I'm going to have to say Bert Newton.
God.
Yeah, well,
I don't like this game, Joe.
He's 79.
What?
He's had a good innings.
79.
No, he's in the zone.
But he's fit as a fiddle,
old
I'll have
Moonface.
You know.
Here lies old Moonface.
Patty will not like to hear that.
It gives us no pleasure to say these.
If you say that one more time
have to be an open
while
casket.
You're smiling.
Have to be an open casket.
For Bert.
Big bounce in.
Help you. Patty, give us a call.
Patty, give us a call. Let us know everything's okay. Hey Vince, who do you reckon's cruising for a... who's up for it?
Hello, Mick and Jane. Yeah, this is a macabre subject, so I thought I'd play it safe and nominate somebody from overseas. So,
yes.
I thought of former President George Bush.
George Bush
senior.
Yeah, senior. He's 93 years of age and... He moves about in a wheelchair, so I think he could retire.
George Bush Senior, 93, losing it, up on charges of groping women.
Yes,
at the moment. It'd be a good time for him to shuffle.
I don't think he needs that wheelchair, to be honest. I think he sits in there and just goes a honk because it's like bum height. He can do that. Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Hey Vince, thanks for your contribution. Give Vince a prize.
Oh, I will, Vince. We'll give you a $100 fuel card coming your way.
Okay.
You good on you.
Hey,
thanks for your contribution.
You've got an interesting one, Max.
Yeah, my one's Stan Lee, the creator of Marvel.
Now that would be huge.
How old's he?
Oh, he's 95 now.
Oh my God. Okay.
And that'd be a good one because he could actually fake his own death or plan his own death or come back as some kind of alter ego or something.
Because he was ill like a couple of months back. I think
he
had pneumonia or something,
didn't he,
Max? So he was struggling a bit, but I think he's coming back.
Good on you, Max.
We're not barracking for it, but it's a good chance of coming
it's
good.
It's a hard subject to barrack for, isn't it? But Dean, you might have another one for us. Who do you think might be on the list?
I'll tell you what we did. We knew he changed. We knew he changed with that first caller. I thought he was up and about for sure to be on the endangered list.
Yeah.
But on the endangered list, Jane, Mick, get the money onto this. Roll this thing to wherever you want.
Yes.
It's Attenborough.
Oh, David.
He's endangered, mate. He's endangered.
He's
Sir David.
I'll put him in my box trifecta.
Mate, Baggy's in there, Mick.
He's up there.
Dean, I'm pretty sure.
People be quiet. Here he is.
I'm pretty sure.
I died yesterday. You can see me.
All the networks would have done their tributes already. They're just stacking up.
Jason, no.
You
can't say
we're not saying that.
Oh, Jason's there.
Jason, is he there?
I don't want to hear this one
either. No, it's funny. We'll get him to ring in and let us know he's still alive.
It's a terrible game.
He's not there. Is he there?
Jason.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. Yep. Who's your money on?
Oh, I think it's a really, really bad one. I know they're all bad, but Molly Meldrum.
Oh, Jesus, come on. Oh. He's a national treasure.
I know, but
Jason,
you started this game. I did
he
not.
Started
don't
with
you,
me.
Do you not put this,
this
on
This has gone
me.
Too far. You can't go killing Molly. That's enough now.
No, everyone. No, okay, now let's just clear it up. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Have the cowboy hat on top of the coffin as it goes into the...
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
We're wrapping this up.
You finished
good
now?
Good music there.
Elton I don't John even know there. What to say. I have no words.
I hope he's on the list.
Who?
Elton John.
Elton John?
Yeah. How dare you?
Reggie. I wouldn't mourn that at all.
Come on.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
You are
You're terrible.
Not happy.
I'm not happy. I don't like that
There will be a meeting after there the show.
Great. I hope to light a candle somewhere.
Oh, well, as long as you don't clean up with your little stinky sponge.
Okay, this is getting out
I took a photo of you doing that, by the way.
I'm going to put that on
Instagram.
Post that image.
I'm going to. You need a little apron. Hey, did you know that three new Australian $2 coins are being released?
I've seen this. I've heard about this.
For the Commonwealth Games coming up soon.
We'll launch three new different versions of the $2 coin will be launched for the Comm Games with favourite sporting stars.
That's right. On one side.
You know what this is about, don't you? This is the imminent launch of Mitcoin. Stay tuned. I think we're 2 weeks away.
You are seriously.
Whoa. There's 100 Mitcoins coming and you all get a chance to get one. It's going to be unbelievable.
That's all great. But you think the Australian Mint is currently putting out new $2 coins because they're a bit scared about your coin?
And if they dare print a dick and balls on the back of the new $2 coin, I will sue them for every cent.
Yeah,
that's
I'm pretty
taken.
Sure you're going to be safe there, matey, on that one. Just a tip. Hey, look, great sporting.
It's a great idea. The Comm Games coming up on the mighty Gold Coast. It's going to be huge. Australia hosting a big. We go very well at the Comm Games. We do love it a lot.
Well, you'd like to think so, and we do. Because we're good in the pool.
Great sportsmen, great sporting moments, commemorated the $2 coin.
Who would you like to see?
Oh, what about Robert DiCostello pooping his pants in the marathon?
I wouldn't have thought
that. Better than that.
Really? Oh, okay.
On the back of a gold coin.
Okay.
Did you see that moment?
What about Sally Robbins lying down in a...
Lay down Sally.
Rowing.
Oh, yeah.
Just laying down.
Hey, Sally.
Have a little lay down Sally.
Well, I think it was technically the Olympics, but we'll take it. We'll take that one.
Oh, they don't have to be specifically Commonwealth Games.
Great athletes, Dave.
What about Cliffy Young? Remember that guy in the gumboots? He ran from the potato farmer. Yeah,
he ran from Sydney to Melbourne and he's shuffled up and down in his
He was unbelievable,
to be honest.
Yeah.
And stopping at hotels to bonk his 21-year-old wife.
Right, Mary. I do.
He deserves his own coin.
He does. Cliff. Hey, we've had a few suggestions already.
What about the Richmond Grand Final? What about Tigers?
Well, in what way? How are we going to do that?
Well, you just put all the Tigers on it.
Nah. On a $2 coin. Gosh, sometimes.
Sounds boring.
You know Stephen Hawkins, are you?
How dare you.
Sorry about that.
What else? Have we had some ideas?
We've had some good ideas. Peter Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Brock is a sportsman. Bang. Yeah. That would be beautiful. In the Tirana.
At Bathurst.
Bathurst.
Yeah, King of the Mountain.
Who else we got? I'm just trying to look at any more sports people because that's something. Give us a call on 133353.
Dean Lucan.
You can think of some. Dean Lucan.
The tuna fisherman from
Port Lincoln.
He could be good.
We've got Crocodile Dundee.
This is not a sports star.
Russell Coit, no, I think. Coit. And Big Mickey, no.
Oh, that'd be me. No, I think it's sports stars we're looking
for. You think,
yeah.
I don't know. People have given us some good suggestions. They sound good. But
I think they're good. And don't confuse them with Mitcoin, which is the value of which will be much greater.
Have we discussed what you're going to have still on your Mitcoin exactly? What's on the front?
On the front is me looking like Julius Caesar. Wearing a laurel wreath and on the back is the dick and balls.
But how are we going to get that through as mint?
It's
as
done.
Mint?
We're going to speak, to the, we're going to, speak to the coin maker
they're
next week.
We
they
cover
are.
It with a fig leaf
it's
or
done.
Something.
We may have to put a fig leaf on it.
Please do. Mm. I don't like it.
Do you know what the currency's
like going to
be like? What? You know stripper money? So you know when you go...
I don't, by the way.
You know when you go to a strip club and you get... You, change your money. It's like cashing in for chips at a gambling thing, and you get.
Can you? Why don't you
money.
Say you know like Monopoly money?
Oh yeah,
you say it
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, like Monopoly
that?
Money.
Stripper oh, money. Is this business?
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are going to go down big in stripper circles.
Will you be looking after your mates when it comes to Mick Coin? I mean, myself and Jane.
We've got a couple on the line already. Shall we get through this? What about Justin? Who do you think should be on the gold coin, mate?
Dawn Fraser, Molloy.
Dawn Fraser.
That
good
is a ripper.
Call.
Great idea.
I like
great
it.
Dawn
yeah,
Fraser.
Big, gold, a gold coin for to add to her collection
yes.
of gold, gold, gold
a great
for
idea.
Australia.
Right.
What about, well, what about Grant Hackett?
Oh, yeah?
Well, you could. I mean, Grant's a very fine swimmer and sportsman.
No, Andy.
What'd you have him, though, in an airline chair? On the recline.
What about in his underpants?
Like, in his underpants
like
in
he
a
was
chair.
At Crown Casino yes. in his. Okay, we'd be good. Grant Hackett is a good call.
That is a good one. Michael.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good. Who would you like to see?
Who'd
suggest?
I see on a gold coin?
Oh, it'd have to be the hometown. Superstar tennis player, 48-hour celebrity, get me out of here, Bernard.
Bernard Tomic.
That is great.
You
yes.
can have Bernard Tomic on the gold coin at the gold in a hot tub full of strippers.
Collector's item.
He'll be
collector's
pushing that
item.
One
well, he makes millions.
Hey,
so.
Pat's got a suggestion. Hi, Pat.
Yes.
G'day, how you going, guys?
Good.
Who,
good.
Pat?
Steve Bradbury. Got to be Steve Bradbury.
Has to be.
That would be great.
I mean, really, honestly. And, gosh, he's a good bloke. When I met him in here, he deserves to be on a $2 coin.
Paul's got a good one. Paul?
Yeah. Nick, Gene, how are you guys?
Good.
Good,
yeah. Who would you like to see on the new commemorative $2 coin?
Who could it be but Trevor Chappell?
Oh, yeah.
That could look very good embalmed on the coin with his underarm.
And I don't know how it'd go with the Kiwis. But,
yeah,
you know.
That's true. I don't think they'd be accepting it.
They wouldn't. Thank you, Paul.
There.
Great
good on
suggestion.
You, Paul. Good call. Langers, who would you like to see on the coin?
Hey, champions.
Good.
Mate, I've got a couple of quick ones for you. Yep. Betty Cuthbert.
Oh, Betty. Yes. Yeah,
Ripper.
Absolutely.
How could you go past that? Farlap.
Oh, yeah. Good one. We'll take that.
Of course.
And throw Bernard Tomic in the Deadpool for me.
While you're at it. Thanks, Langers.
Bernard Tomic's in the Deadpool.
Why not? Hello, John. Who would you like to nominate?
I'd like to nominate Winx, the racehorse.
Oh, yes. That's fair enough.
Absolutely,
unbeaten,
Winx.
And you can make coin off her as well.
You can make coin. Oh, you can place that $2 coin on Winx and make some money. Well done. Greg, who would you like to see on the commemorative $2 coin?
Hey, John.
Good.
That's the way, mate. It's
going to
be the voice of cricket, Richie
Benno. Oh, Richie Benno. That is. Legend. Give Greg a prize. I think that's a very good sober.
Yeah, come up well.
That is a ripper.
Kennedy Molloy prize pack for you, Greg.
Coming
your
way, mate. Jared, who do you think should be on? Which sportsman, I thought, but who should be on the $2 coin?
I think this was one of the greatest sporting moments, and that's Bob Hawke sculling a beer.
Oh, the America's Cup win, yes.
You have no argument from me, Jared.
Brilliant.
Well
we might as well do John Bertrand while we're at it, too.
Well,
I'm
why not?
Yeah, why not?
And on the back, you could have Bob Hawke wearing the jacket over the other jacket after the America's Cup win.
Brilliant.
Sounds good. Luke, who's the sporting superstar you'd like to see on the $2 coin?
Mick Molloy.
For what?
Luke, you've gone mad. Why?
Hear him out.
Flipper in the Cracker Jack movie.
Give him a prize. That is a prize. Yes, dangerous.
Prize.
Give him a prize.
All right, $100 gold class voucher coming your way.
Bang.
Luke,
well done.
Okay,
that
what
goes
about
to the
you,
top
Chris?
Of the list.
Chris, who would you like to nominate?
How you going? This one's right up Mickey's alley. It involves golf and strippers. It's got to be Robert Allenby.
Yes, you
oh,
think
Robert
well,
Allenby. I think
I don't
we
know
might
if you'd
have
get
found a winner.
Committee.
I think we found a winner. We prize have. Coming that way.
All right,
for
Kennedy
you.
Molloy prize back for you as well.
And are we all done? Are we all silent? I think we are.
Yeah,
good
I'll tell
stuff,
you what.
Guys.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
The PM and Lawrence Mooney joining us real soon, but right now.
Paul Hogan's story from Harbour Bridge rigger to Golden Globe winner and Australian of the Year is well known.
But having a working blue-collar background, I think that's an advantage.
Every Aussie has done this line at a dinner table.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
And complained that we don't actually call them shrimp.
I'll slip an extra shrimp on the barbie for you.
But the man who came to the movies late...
I made my first movie at 47 and did all right.
...is back in a new film all about telling a great Aussie joke.
It was his four nuns, right?
This is a true story.
So this guy goes to the confessional.
There's this jumbo jet.
All right, I've got one for you.
Please welcome... Paul Hogan.
Hey. Yeah. G'day, Paul.
Hey. Hello, Mick. Hello, Jane.
G'day, Paul. How are you?
Alive and well.
Oh.
That's a positive these days, isn't it?
It is a positive. Yeah. Where do we find you today, where we're calling you from?
I'm here in Venice.
In
Los
Venice?
Los Angeles, not Italy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Venice Beach. Surrounded by 30 or 40 of my closest friends. Partying, you know, sort of. Just a minute. Can you keep it down, Kim? Anyway, talk to her. Tell her to keep quiet.
Oh, yes, of course.
Noisy lot.
Oh, yeah, no, the Kardashians will give you a bit of trouble. Paul, do you mind if I take you back to 1986?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was working. It was my very first job ever, the first day of my first job.
Right.
And I was working as a producer on a radio show in Melbourne, a radio station called 3UZ, for a guy called Nick Irby, had a morning show there. And I had this bloke come in. I was so nervous because it was you. You were coming in to promote a film that you'd made called Crocodile Dundee. Familiar with that? Yeah.
I remember you.
Well, I'm so glad because I was shitting myself that day.
Oh, I wouldn't have known.
You're the very first guest I ever had in my life to interview.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, tell us about this new film you're involved with, Paul, before we get on to some other areas. How did you get involved?
Oh, this is I didn't know it was going to be a film. It was just Shane having a barbecue and inviting a lot of comics around to tell jokes, to try and reintroduce the lost art.
Yep.
And I'm not usually a joke teller anyway. I love being comedy shows. I love to hear people laugh. So I thought, oh, yeah, well, the joke thing's worth doing because it gives everyone an opportunity to be a comic and make people laugh.
It does.
That's the good thing about joke telling.
Yep. And you'd worked with Shane before, of course.
Oh, yeah, Shane. He's a prince.
And the film has got a lot of really well-known Australians who give their two bobs worth and have come forward with their great jokes. Everyone from... well, Fiona O'Loughlin, she just won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of the Jungle, that
She's
show.
She's on a roll.
She's right. On a roll. We've got...
Limo.
Jamoan.
Steve Izard.
Crikey. It's a full house.
Yep.
About to be released too, the film. So should be a ripper to get out there.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're sticking it in a theatre to sort of test it. And it's the only way to see any comedy is, you know, in a theatre full of people. And apparently they're all laughing their heads off, so...
it
was great.
I've heard nothing but good things. Now, the other thing that's causing a sensation over here at the moment is the idea that there may be another sequel or a prequel or whatever you call it to Crocodile Dundee after the mega level of interest that was generated after the Gridiron Grand Final. Is there any chance, there's any truth to all these rumours that are bubbling about at the moment, Paul?
It's a vague possibility. I was talking to Chris and Danny, and they've got some idea they want to float around. But probably not, but maybe. Actually, I'm making a film in May, June, and its sort of working title is Whatever Happened to Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, and,
crikey.
Really?
He's not in it. I always said if there was another one, he'd be in a retirement village getting out of the water.
That's still not a bad place to start, though, is it? I have to ask you, many accomplishments, obviously, your legendary TV show, which both Jane and I, we were interviewed recently, and we said that was one of the most incredible early influences on our own careers. But you've done so much in your career. I wanted to ask you specifically about hosting the Logies, which I know you've done, haven't you? Because I'm trying to get Jane Kennedy to do it.
Oh,
do
hang
you,
on.
Do you have any... What are your strongest memories of hosting or at least opening the Logies? And what advice would you give to Jane about that?
Don't do it.
The problem with the Logies these days, Paul, is that, you know, they've gone really straight and no one can smoke and no one can get drunk anymore. It's all very PC. It used to be fun.
Over here now, it's just coming to the end of the award season. Thank God.
Yeah.
And it's just endless procession of sort of weeping people and thanking everybody and sort of like, oh, it's supposed to be fun.
Yes,
I mean, back in the 80s, I opened the Oscars.
Yep.
And I made a speech there, taking the mickey out of it, the whole thing, and it seemed to go over well. But
it's 30 years ago and I was never invited back. So.
Oh. Well,
but that is rubbish. I mean, that's what we mean. You know, everybody's now standing up making other statements rather than just get on stage, say thank you and piss off, I reckon.
Yeah, that's say my information was, as I said on the night there, so remember the three G's. Be gracious, be grateful, get off.
Well, on that note, we better let you go, I suppose. I think that was a subtle hint, Jane.
Paul, we're big fans and it's been great to chat with you, of course, and good luck with the film.
Not my dog. I can't wait to see it myself.
Sounds great.
Thank you, guys. Good on you.
Good on you. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers. See ya.
Bye.
Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And we are going to smash it today. Trust me on that one. Coming up a little later, Lawrence Mooney.
Oh, can't wait for that. Hey, they found some fossils stolen in WA.
I think it's a 2-million-year-old shark tooth.
Well, that should be worn around your neck, shouldn't it?
Well, that will be somewhere. Hardio, I'm taking it. Who's going to fill in for me? All will be revealed.
You never know. And we have got some audio we've listened to of Donald Trump that you will not believe your ears.
And in a related story, we're going to talk about dick pics.
A seriously
Why?
Related story.
It is get involved in the discussion.
We've got lots of tweets and Insta and everything. People have got Deadpool suggestions. Wow. Who should be on a $2 coin? What sporting
it's
icons?
It's all coming. We'll let you know. But why don't we open the big second hour with a man who's been in the news all week. He struck deals with tariffs. He's been on everything. He's been held to account by Lee Sales, who said he's very close to hitting those 30 those 30 news polls, and that's when there's going to be trouble. Look, he's championing the bit.
He
can't wait
now
to get involved. It's our own PM, Malcolm Turnbull. Big Mal.
Well, hello and good afternoon. Please, it's always a pleasure to be on Kennedy and Malloy, and hello to you, Dangerous.
Hello, Mr. Turnbull.
I don't want to hear another word about those 30 news polls. Really and truly, I don't want to have to lose my temper. I felt like flying across the desk at Lee Sales. Now, you know when I'm losing my temper with Lee when I do this? Lee. I just say her name about 30 times.
She was pretty insistent.
I did have a good time on the 7:30 report, even though she slipped into that area. I did say reiterate, reassurance, and I did get to mention the Pacific Rim, which always makes me giggle.
When I'm doing deals
in the Pacific Rim, I just think, that's terrific.
And Lee's got a great sense of humour on that too. She enjoys that.
Hey, now tell us about, this is the biggest deal I can remember a PM making in foreign affairs so long, involving tariffs with America and an exemption for us. And is the credit going to you, or is the credit going to the great Greg Norman, the great white shark, who seems to have got us out of trouble here?
It is true, Markle, that Greg is a great friend of Donald Trump's. They love playing golf, and that's the great thing. That's where you've got a bit of leverage with Trump. He loves his golf. Right. And the US also love Greg Norman. I hasten to add, he's not actually a shark. He's just a man with a terrifically annoying accent.
You have a good relationship with him, Mr. Turnbull?
Well, we do, because we're both incredibly wealthy men. And the club's quite small, actually, when it comes to Australians. Because of Greg's success, we're now thinking, Jane, of using other former sports stars in diplomatic missions.
Oh, really?
For example, we're going to send Merv Hughes. He'll lead a delegation to Turkey because they love the big moustache.
Big moustache.
We're going to send Ian Thorpe to Athens because, of course, the Greeks love gods and Adonises. Don't get presumptuous. You all drew in breath there, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
And olives. And, of course, we're sending Dawn Fraser on a mission to Syria to negotiate a peace deal because the Syrians love big moustaches as well. No, I'm kidding.
What is wrong with you?
Bashar al-Assad would soil himself if confronted by Big Dawny pounding on the doors of Damascus.
Congratulations. It was a great job. Well done there.
Isn't it terrific that we can get stuff done with a game of golf?
It
bores the hell out of me. But anyway, I prefer something where you don't get normal people on the course. I like sailing. Not everybody can afford a yacht.
The polo. Did you ever take up polo? I would have thought that would be right up your alley.
Yes, but my horse drowned. Boom. Look what I did, Dangerous. I'm doing
here. I love it. All right, now I have to ask you, Christopher Pyne, celebrating 25 years in Parliament, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw the man a party?
Well,
what's the plans?
To. I mean, Christopher, of course, he's right here, actually. We've just got off the rower. Oh, we love to exercise together. He's saturated.
I'd love to hear from him.
Hello, it's Christopher Pan here. I used to be a fixer, but now I'm a maker. I'm the Minister for Defence Industries. I love it. Anyway, I'm a party planner, too. In my spare time, I'm going to plan my own party. It's going to be so much fun, just like a kid's party. Hats, fairy bread, little boys, that's Savoy's, big drinks of Fanta, and I'm going to have a pinata.
A pinata
in the shape of Parliament House. I'm just going to whack it, whack it, whack it, whack it, whack it until all the stuff just flies out all over the floor.
It's going to be terrific. Excited,
okay,
Pine.
Good on you, Christopher.
Thank you.
He works himself into a ladder, doesn't he?
Well, that's going to be some bash. That's going to be some wing-ding party, Mr. Turnbull. You better organise.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, Christopher's been trying to get us into the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras for a long time to do a float. The Liberal Party as the village people, of course, would be the chief. And Christopher's put his hand up for the leather man. So maybe that'll come to
Turnbull,
fruition one day.
Mr. Turnbull, have you got a song for us you'd like to play today? Perhaps this can be at Christopher's party you'd like to open kick-off proceedings with.
One of my favourite songs at the moment in the Bentley Selector, Jane. I've been replaying on repeat is Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll.
Oh,
and
I'll tell you,
please.
I love this song because when JA won Benelong, I've been singing Been a Long Time Since You Rock and Roll. Been a long time, been a long time.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
He's got a tweet from Leo at Kennedy Malloy. Yeah. I nearly ran off the road with laughter. Christopher Pine loves it.
He's done it.
So good. Lawrence Mooney.
Lawrence Mooney, he brought both of them to our attention. He's on the line now from our Brisbane studios. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Mick. G'day, Jane.
Hey, Lawrence. How are you doing?
I love listening to the Prime Minister and to Christopher. Christopher does love it.
Christopher was off the chain today.
Just quickly before we get into to formalities, our own Lord Mayor in Melbourne, so this is off the Melbourne desk, a report has been tabled today confirming allegations against our Lord Mayor. What tickled me was the allegations are of a sexual nature, and the report was tabled by Ian Freckleton, QC, and it was presented to Melbourne City Council CEO Ben Rimmer. So Freckleton to Rimmer on the sexual...
Isn't that funny that got caught your eye, Lawrence? Yes. It's not like you.
How did anyone let that happen? Do you think they're taking this case seriously?
Well, I believe they are taking it very seriously.
I almost expect Betty Hill to come in and pat someone on the head.
And now Judge Starfish will be. All right.
Lawrence,
all right,
you have been on the road now. How long have you been away from home, travelling around Australia?
I've been away from home almost a month, which is why I'm laughing like somebody who's gone stir crazy.
You got a bit mad.
Yeah, you have. How are you holding up, mate? Because I know it sounds like a load of fun, but it's actually hard work living out of a suitcase and hotel to hotel, and you're working pretty solidly the whole time.
Yeah, I got a bit of the boo-hoos about that, but never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, you like it because you're away from me.
I love it.
You would love to be away from your family. We get it.
Yeah, sure.
In a hotel room just draining the minibar.
Yes, and having hamburgers,
It's fun for the first 30 days. but then it starts to grind. Something weird happened. I'm staying at an apartment in Brisbane called the Alex Perry Apartments, named after the designer Alex Perry.
Wow.
And everyone wears massive sunglasses and have to shave their head.
The whole building.
Sometimes you wake up and Alex is at the end of the bed and you're like, Jesus, Alex! Mate, is a bunch of bees just stung your face? Anyway, I was doing... It's a self-contained apartment with a kitchen and a laundry in the bathroom, you know, washer and dryer. Yeah. So I do my washing the other day. It's lovely to do a load. And I put them in the dryer, get my washing out of the dryer, put it on the bed, and I'm folding everything up. And I this garment keeps catching my eye. I think, what is that? And eventually I just draw it out, and it's not mine.
Oh.
Okay,
what do you mean? This is your own apartment that you've been in.
That's right. Now, we all know that people have been in those rooms before you.
Oh, yeah.
And we live with that, but we shut it out. You just don't need any evidence of life. Okay? You don't need proof of life. You don't want to find something that belongs to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And this had been left in the dryer.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hold it up, and it's a massive singlet. It's a triple XL singlet, so it belongs to a massive unit who obviously has lost the will to keep reaching into the dryer. Oh, that's enough exercise for me. So I was tucked inside. He didn't find it, and I was like so repudiated. I wanted to do my washing again because this was... The singlet was yellowed, okay? And it wasn't its first rodeo. Now, I don't need...
Get this singlet down to forensic, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is I'm glad I wasn't wearing any black light glasses because I would have been blinded by this singlet, okay? Yuck. I'm reckoning this singlet might not have been used as a singlet for a while.
Lawrence, that black light look, though, in a hotel, that's fair. You know I go in with wipes when I go in. I got those a tip off one of the housewives of Beverly Hills. You go in with a packet of antibacterial wipes. The first thing you go for is the remote control. I can't begin to tell you what people might do with it, but you just got to give that a wipe before you even touch
and
it.
And also the seat that's at the desk, because no one's wearing pants in that seat, are they? You have got to burn that seat and just go down to Officeworks and buy a new one.
Lawrence, you mentioned evidence of someone previously being in your room. I was staying in a very well-known and prestigious hotel in Sydney. Mm-hmm. I check into my room and above the bed is like a mirrored headboard and on it are two big paw prints that are pressed into the bed. Into the bed. Someone's handprints that are pressed into the bed head above the bed. You need to get up here now. Bring the spray and wipe.
Get the Windex.
Get the Windex to room 204 now. I repeat, now.
Clearly it was a yoga teacher because someone's been doing a bit of downward dog on that bed.
Oh, well, a downward doggy style at least is all I can say. Well done.
Thank you, Lawrence.
I hope things look up for you. When do you plan to get home? When will you finish your big lap around the big brown land?
Everything's terrific, I've got to say. I've been having a great time in Adelaide and Brisbane. And I'm bringing it home.
Yeah.
An Evening with Malcolm Turnbull starts in Melbourne on March 28th. Get tickets via comedyfestival.com.au. And I'm doing the full run right through till April the 22nd.
Brilliant. You're also doing the Sydney Comedy Festival and you're at the Enmore Theatre, which is wonderful. No, on the
one of the great
of
live performers of all time. And I might even come along so we can redo some of our gala
now,
magic.
Absolutely. I think I might have to come along to make sure that I get this man to work the next day.
Can you bring Betty Ford along too? Anyway, I'm going to bring the singlet home, guys. I'm bringing the singlet home.
Lawrence Mooney, Kennedy Malloy.
Good on you, Lawrence.
Your new way to drive home.
From all around the country, a big hello to our West Australian listeners. We love our West Australian listeners. Big story coming out of WA right now. This is monstrous. Someone has stolen a 2-million-year-old shark tooth from a national park. It was fossilised. Yeah. They had a tent over it and they were protecting
it. So people knew it was there.
Only a select few people knew it was actually there. Someone's come along and absconded with it. Parks and Wildlife Manager Arvid Haugstrom told Channel 9 News, I'd say we're looking for a guy with a very, very good shark tooth necklace. Yes. You see someone with a massive, anyone wearing a shark tooth necklace that's got a massive one?
A little old
off
looking.
That, man, this is a crime against nature
that
over
is
there.
Shocking, especially if Pete, you've got to respect that. If it's in the ground, you just don't go and do that.
Two million years old. Do you know what I reckon this tooth belonged to? The first shark ever punched by an ancient surfer. You know how you punch a...
A Neanderthal surfer.
So what do the sharks hate attacking everyone in Perth? I've been losing teeth for ages.
That's shocking. Yes.
It's a good look, the shark tooth. Nicholas?
I always loved guys with a shark tooth.
I always looked at Christopher Atkins in the Blue Lagoon and went,
now you're talking.
One day, Mickey, one day. you in a coconut bra. Yeah. Running down the beach.
Oh, nothing better.
I think
than
we filmed something like that. No, it was me and Judith.
Oh, that's
well, let's stop reminiscing.
You're confused with your coconut bras.
I got a coconut
easy
bra.
Easy to do, Mick. Easy to do.
So there you go. I mean, that is terrible.
Well, there's been other things like that. You know, that the
people souveniring artifacts. And...
Well, that's, you know, it's kind of dickhead behaviour, I have to say. But actually, that's at the moment, Chinese authorities are going to dish out severe punishment if they can find the dude that did this. They had, what are they called, you know, those terracotta armies?
Yeah, the terracotta army statues.
Yeah, they'd lent some to the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia in the US to a museum.
They've got a few of them, I have to say. I've seen them.
There's a fair amount of them.
The army is the word you're looking for.
You know what someone did?
What?
Broke a finger off one of the statues and nicked it.
Jeez.
This, I mean, seriously, they
lucky they're not nude.
or it could be worse.
You wonder what happened to the statue of David's penis.
Well, it could have been an early nicking. This statue dates back to 209 BC.
And someone snapped a finger off.
That's shocking.
And kept it.
That is terrible behaviour.
People just taking or doing something with artefacts and what they meaning they have for people. I mean, there's some things that
you've got to be careful with that. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just talk about souveniring stuff because I think there's a lot of people out there at some stage who would have not committed a criminal act necessarily.
No, but maybe you're rethinking it now, thinking, oh, did I go
too far? I took something I'm quite proud of.
I
got a stone, like a pebble, rock, off Gallipoli Beach. When I was in Gallipoli, the beach, the famous beach where it all went down.
Yes.
And I was there, and it was quite a moving experience.
And did you do it for the purpose of saying, I want to bring this back because it has meaning?
Because it has meaning, and I have a stone, and I keep it on my desk. And whenever I start taking myself too seriously, I look at the said stone and that's right.
Mate. Oh, yeah, I didn't fight in World War One.
And life's pretty damn good for you.
Exactly.
Sobering moment. Stop taking yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
So
it's funny what people keep.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Because everyone does it.
Maybe we were in Greece one time, maybe went to a marble mine. Maybe I just sort of thought, oh, what's all this stones again on the ground? But it might have been like, you know, ancient Greek marble that might have ended up in my
pocket. You've stolen it.
I didn't steal it. It was on the ground.
What do you like?
It was a closed up mine.
Get a few blood diamonds, did you?
Once I was babysitting some kids years and years ago and there was a little container on the mantelpiece and I said to one of the boys, I said, what's in that container? It's baffled me. And they said, oh, they're William's stitches. I said, why would you keep stitches? Where are those stitches from? They said, that's from where William broke his scrotum.
Oh.
I said, what? He got his penis caught in the springs of a trampoline.
Ow.
And he was apparently so brave. Should I be telling this story? But they kept, as a souvenir, they kept the stitches and they kept them in a jar.
Well, behind glass, I hope. I really do. When I was young, I'll tell you what I did. I broke into, everyone knows I'm a mad Richmond Football Club fan. I caught a train to training, watched them train, waited the first training, went in and stole Mark Lee's socks.
No kidding.
Really?
Mark Lee's socks, who played for Richmond Football Club.
Yeah.
Yep. And they still occasionally come out in the boudoir. After a big win. Dane,
I'm a Hawthorn supporter, so when they won the back-to-back-to-back premiership, so what's that, 2015, went on the ground after the game because they had an concert on the ground and a little Ziploc bag, and I stole some grass. So I kept some grass.
From the MCG.
Grand final day.
That is unbelievable.
Still got it.
No sort of real reason to have it.
But I've got a seat from Punt Road too. Clinton's on the line. Clinton, have you souvenired something? What have you souvenired? You're calling from Perth, are you? You don't have the tooth in question.
I don't have the tooth in question. I wish I did. It sounds like a great little souvenir.
Okay. Well, what have you got?
I have got about 15 years ago, my mate and I were at a pub and a very famous Olympic swimmer was having his 21st party there the same evening. We took it on purpose, wrong turn down a corridor and ended up in said function.
Yes.
Drank his booze, ate his food, had photos with his family, and then on the way out decided that we might as well take one of the specially engraved thank you for coming champagne glasses that all the guests were getting.
Oh, you didn't.
That's good. For a minute there, I thought he was going to say gold medal.
Me too.
No.
But all right, a champagne glass. Daring of you there, Clinton.
We get the idea. He set the tone. 133353. What have you souvenired? Toss. How am I saying that?
Yep, toss.
Toss. Good on you, mate. What is it that you've souvenired or... the old five-figure discount. What have you trousered, as John Clark used to like saying?
About February last year, I went on my honeymoon with my wife to Egypt.
Yep.
And one of the must things to do is the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Sure.
It's a bit dicey there with a couple of terrorist attacks and a bit of instability.
Yeah.
So there were no tourists. I was able to walk right up and... pocket a piece of the rock from the pyramid itself.
Now, are you concerned at all, mate, about the legends of all the curses attached to these
things? There you go.
Things, anyone who's taken something at the Tomb Raiders and everyone eventually ended up... You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Correct.
And you'll get bitten by an asp.
Exactly.
So are you not worried about any kind of curse?
No, not yet. Life's actually been pretty good so far since.
All right. So far,
Tors. I don't want to put you on my Deadpool list
All
right. Thanks for the call. Thanks. Darren, what have you got there, mate? What did you take?
I stole Major General Cosgrove's chair while he's in East Timor.
Beg your pardon?
Darren.
What?
Hang on.
How do you do this?
This is a serious crime. What do you mean you stole his chair? Where was Peter Cosgrove?
Yeah, Peter Cosgrove, while he was commanding the troops in East Timor, I called into his office to do some work, and chairs are pretty hard to come by there, so he had this nice high-back office chair, so I threw it out the back window into my vehicle and took off with it. I still have it.
Darren, I'm assuming that's not your real name.
Wow.
That is nuts, man. What the hell? So you had a nice... Did General Cosgrove look for a chair after that?
I'm not sure what actually happened. I kind of didn't stay around for too long, but I did have some help getting it back into the country.
Well,
give him a prize. Give Darren a prize.
Darren,
no,
but, wow.
He's taken on the head of Australian military peacekeeping forces.
He'll want that chair back now.
He will.
We're going to call him.
It looks like he'd have a pretty big ass groove on Peter Cosgrove.
Kennedy Molloy prize pack coming your way there, Darren. Thanks for the call, mate.
You know, Peter Cosgrove sent me wake up reminder calls. I have to play it to you. He's get out
really?
Of bed, Molloy.
When
I've got
you were doing
travelling
around.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
I'll have them. I'll play them for you.
I would love to hear those, Mick.
Mel, what did you steal?
Well, it's another chair. My dad, about 30 years ago, was living near a church that was being renovated, and he stole a priest's chair that is still sitting in my backyard right now.
Oh, that's a bit spooky even, Mel. I don't know about that.
It's sort of become something that's just been passed through the family.
You'll have to go to confessional.
Yeah. And Mel, what was
the
reason?
The chair with you.
Why did he steal it?
It was a cool chair and he wanted it and he wanted a story.
I've no issue with that.
There you go.
They are the richest organisation
in
the world.
They are loaded.
It's about time they coughed up.
What's one chair?
You have to go in
exactly.
to take one of their chairs.
Thank
Why
you, Mel.
Not?
Thanks for that. Brett.
Hello. How are you, Nicky?
What have you picked up that's a little bit of a souvenir?
I souvenired a piece of the Colosseum.
Oh, mate. Of course you did. How did you get that back in the country?
Well, we're on a walking tour and I just sort of wandered to the back of the tour and up against the wall and I worked the rock out of the wall.
Oh. I thought you might have found it lying around
Me too.
It was just there.
I had to work for it.
The whole Colosseum could have come crashing down.
Thank you for what you do there.
Yeah, pretty ordinary. I've also got a piece of the Eiffel Tower at home as well.
What do you mean?
That's made out of iron. How do you get that?
Yeah. I just scraped a piece of the old rusty flake off. Oh,
all right,
well, Brett's a bit of an expert there.
Brett's going to open his own thing.
Yeah, possibly Mel?
Hey, not me, but my dad, he has a small collection of pieces of the Great Wall of China.
Wow.
Pieces?
Wow.
So this is like a work in progress.
Okay, Australians have been thieving a lot of big items here. We've had the Great Pyramid
and
of
very
Cheops,
well-known items.
The Colosseum, and now we've just trousering everything.
I think he's got pieces more because it was too hard to pick up a big bit, so he just like put a little bits in his pocket as he was going along and brought them home.
Does he tell people he's got them or has he got
them
on display?
Yeah, he pulls them out every now and then and goes, do you know what this is? This is the Great Wall of China.
Oh, party time at your house now.
Do you declare those on your customs form? What
I'm
do you do?
Not thinking
I don't
anybody
know,
does that.
But everyone's out. Well done, everybody.
Yeah,
thank
done
you very
good.
Much for those. Yeah, well.
Return the shark tooth. It's 2 million years old. You know who you are. It's not yours.
It belongs to all of us, mate.
It belongs
Come
to
on.
All of us. It's
yeah,
a shark tooth.
Australian.
There's nothing more Australian than a shark
Come
tooth.
Come on.
Jeez.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Jane, I'm going to play some audio now that I know you haven't heard.
I know, and you've found this quite...
Okay, I love Trump. I think the guy is just the biggest.
Well, he's a gift that
idiot.
Keeps on
he just
giving,
keeps
isn't
giving.
It?
I think he's like a 5 year old. I think
yes,
he's just the dumbest,
do.
The biggest con man in the history of my lifetime. I'm about to play a grab, and I think this is probably my favourite grab ever. And this is fresh. And you rack them up over the years. There's been some absolute roll gold
They've
beauties.
Been corkers.
But this is absolutely astonishing. I'm going to get your reaction to it.
Right.
He's making this address to the military in a military hangar with an F-18 fighter behind him.
Yes.
Okay, and he's preaching to the top military brass, and he's mooting a little something called the Space Force.
Okay,
have a listen.
Space is a war-fighting domain, just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a Space Force. We'll develop another one. Space Force. We have the Air Force. We'll have the Space Force. We have the Army, the Navy. You know, I was saying it the other day because we're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was... not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Maybe we'll have to do that. That could happen.
Are they all laughing in the background?
More. That is unbelievable.
Oh,
Space Force.
What?
What?
What is going on?
The hell is going on?
But what
on?
I love is he verbalizes, like he talks out loud, like he doesn't realize that he's actually in speech mode as a president.
He's actually
We're actually supposed to listen to what a president says.
It's like he's doing a show and tell.
On the spot.
And on the spot in front of the class talking about what he's discovered or what his new idea is.
Five-year-olds are smarter than
did
that.
Did you hear him? Did you hear them all laughing?
I could hear them tittering in the
background. That's four-star generals laughing at his idea for Space Force.
Yeah, that's right up
there. And
all
that he's done.
That's brilliant.
He was taking a lot of credit for some other stuff as well in that speech, which I would like to have heard, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Already in this country, in America anyway. The late night comics obviously have got out and about Space Force.
Indeed.
And Stephen Colbert, this is piping hot, off the wire.
Yep.
Have a listen.
Okay.
There's no threat in space. Who are we fighting? Satellites? A bunch of frozen monkeys? Elon Musk's convertible? Now, of course, even in this announcement, Trump cannot miss an opportunity to insult an opponent.
Very soon we're going to Mars. You wouldn't have been going to Mars if my opponent won. That I can tell you. You wouldn't even be thinking about it. You wouldn't be thinking about it.
Yes, if Hillary Clinton were president, we wouldn't be so urgently trying to flee the planet.
What is going on?
It's just another taste of that speech, which gives you the idea that the guy's barking mad, Jane.
Wow.
Off his
But I can't get
rocker.
Enough of it.
I can't. It's unbelievable.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Been a wild old ride today, has it? Where do we start?
You know, we started with the candles in
the room. You lighting a candle.
You cleaning up.
Terrible. You've been reported. To
OHS.
No, and you dubbed me in. You're not very supportive
of me.
You're
going to get a letter.
And we learned about Deadpool. I didn't even know that was such a thing.
Which has been going on, which Dave's gone back to back.
Yeah, champion.
I've got a few more Deadpool suggestions.
Well, so Deadpool, has been taken out by Stephen Hawking. People backed heavily.
Well, for 2018.
We asked people what their thoughts were.
Danelle's
what's coming
gone
in.
Betty from, White from, might be finally going.
This is from social media. You can text us or
at Kennedy
Instagram.
Moore.
Kobe Devon Lee's also said, it'd kill me if it happens, but Ted Danson from Cheers is getting on.
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Early 70s. Wow. He's all right. God, I think you're all jumping
Prince
the
Philip,
gun.
I've been on him for some time. I can't believe.
He comes up a lot.
Yeah. He's very close to being dragged around Weekend at Bernie's style. In fact, I'll say he'll struggle to make the Markle wedding. I bet you he's not there. I bet you he's not there.
All right.
I bet you there'll be an empty seat.
The Queen, just on that?
The Queen will be going solo.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about, you know, in the Queen, The Crown, the series that you never watched?
Yes.
He got paid more than her, the actor.
Good.
And it was about the Queen.
There you go.
Big show tomorrow. Adam Rosenbach's and Dean and Tracy from Married at First Sight.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.